Good evening. Before we begin, a disclaimer and a warning for tonight's episode. Tonight's broadcast may be unsuitable for children, adults, and living creatures.
Listener's discretion is advised.
I've been keeping my ear to the streets. The UK run out of ideas. Everybody giving covers of American beat.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network. Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stubbs. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
you know, you really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur, is Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA champion.
Oh my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It's buzz around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is a honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
Always Broken, VOC Nation Radio Network. This is Wrestling with History, and if you're listening to the live broadcast, it's Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's where you can find us every single Wednesday. Yes, the voice of choice here, and I've committed to this program for at least the next year of my life. I can't make any promises after that, but when I came back, when I talked to Brady Hicks, who is now the general manager of the VOC Nation Radio Network, I committed that I would be back for at least 1 year after my five-year retirement from the network that I started. VOC Nation, Wrestling with History. We have a lot of fun here on this show. I am solo tonight, so I hope very, very much that you'll call and talk to me so I have somebody to talk to. You don't want me to be sad. If you want to talk to me, that number is 657-383-1666. And here on Wrestling with History, we talk about the different generations, the different eras of professional wrestling. Many times we have a guest, had some good guests the last couple weeks. Shelly Martinez made the news last week talking about Batista again, and also some other stuff, including as we were winding down and leaving the air, Shelly kind of made a hint that she feels, maybe with some inside information, that WWE and AEW are in cahoots on some level. She didn't go into it. I don't want to lead you in the wrong direction, but I do encourage you to go back and take a listen. Very nice interview with Shelly Martinez. The week before that, we had another very good guest. It was Hernandez from TNA, one of the TNA originals, or close to the original, and Hernandez talked to us about his budding TV career, so go back and take a listen to that one as well. But today, I want to talk about truly the different generations in professional wrestling. I put up a Twitter poll, and I asked all of the peeps out there what your favorite era in professional wrestling was. So basically, I'm going to break this into the 80s. So the Hulk Hogan era, and before that, right before that, was I'm going to call that the pre-Vince McMahon, the pre-Vincent Kennedy McMahon era. So the territorial days before Vince kind of brought everything together, and then you have the of course the Attitude era, and then the era of today. I want to know what your favorite one is. So there's still time to vote on the poll. It's up for 21 more hours. Really just a few votes right now, and the votes that I have are centered around the Attitude Era, which I think is nice. Not my favorite, but it was nice. So I want to know what you have to think. Either tweet me at Bruce VOC, tweet VOC Nation at VOC Nation, or if you're listening live, call into the show. Talk to me about it. Got some calls waiting on hold, 657-383-1666. 1666. So before I do take some calls, which I would like to do for the entire hour that I am going to be with you today, I want to talk about my favorite era in professional wrestling and how I really got started. I remember on a cold winter day back in 1988, my mother took me and she took me to the grocery store. And while we were at the grocery store, she said, "I have to get home. Hulk Hogan is wrestling Andre the Giant tonight." And to me, as a young 8-year-old child, that meant nothing to me. I didn't really care for professional wrestling. I knew of Hulk Hogan. I knew of Andre the Giant, but I really had no concept of what that meant. And I came home and we watched that show, and that was my love affair with professional wrestling. And it lasted for a long time. I wish I could say that it lasts to this very day. I do like professional wrestling. I think deep down in my soul, professional wrestling will always have a place. But the product today just isn't to me what it once was. The stories aren't relatable. And I think they were all the way through that era, all the way through the Attitude Era, maybe with some a lull back in the early part of the 90s. I wasn't a big fan of Duke the Dumpster Drosy and the Goon. But I think back in the late 80s, at least the stories were relatable. Little cartoony sometimes, but at least they were entertaining and relatable. And I just feel like today that's missing. And there's no suspense. Maybe it's because it's oversaturated. You know, wrestling is on TV a few times a week. It's live programming. They have to continue to write things that they didn't have to do back in the 80s. So in the 80s, everything was based around either the big pay-per-view or Saturday night's main event. And it was only a few times a year. And those shows, those Saturday night's main events, most of the time, they weren't even live. So the pressure didn't exist back then that exists today. And I give the WWE writers and writers of professional wrestling in general a lot of credit for what they have to go through to produce a professional wrestling program, a live, compelling program that needs to draw TV ratings. I give them a lot of credit for what they do every week. I just don't connect with that product. Today, I don't. And I think that's why a lot of people are excited about AEW. I've made fun of AEW fans a little bit on Twitter and a little bit on this show. But if nothing else, people, I hope that AEW put some pressure on the WWE to step up their game. And we've seen they went out and hired Bruce Pritchard, and then they hired Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. But my central belief is that unless Vince McMahon gives up the keys to the castle and says, Mr. Bischoff, Mr. Heyman, or somebody that has the pulse of the market, their finger on the pulse of the market, unless Vince McMahon does that, nothing will change. Because Vince McMahon, as long as he is living, in my opinion, will have final say of anything that happens on that product. And in my opinion, Vince McMahon has lost touch with the fans of today. Vince McMahon has no idea what people today look for, not only in a wrestling product, but in life. I think he lives in, quote unquote, the wrestling bubble. Those of you who listen to Vince Russo's podcast know that Vince Russo also has spoke about that very recently. And listen, I'm not a Vince Russo guy. I'm not a Vince Russo fan or a Vince Russo mark. But I do agree with him when he talks about the product and his disappointment with it. So I'd like to hear from you today. I'd like to hear what your favorite professional wrestling era is. And I'd like to hear what you think about today's product. And again, the phone number to do that is 657-383-1666. Tweet me at Bruce VOC. I am going to go to the phones and we'll kick it off with Malcolm in Las Vegas. What's up, Malcolm? You're in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Bruce, I love the subject. It would be 85, 86, both years. That's when Vince had the first WrestleMania. I was over in Korea. I missed part of 85, but, man, when I got home, and I saw Saturday Night's Main Event, and I heard Animotion playing Obsession as the opening theme song.
Yeah.
Man, Terry Funk against Hulk Hogan in January of 86, Nikolai Volkoff and Hulk in a flag match, Piper and Orton and Jesse Ventura against the Hillbilly Jim, Uncle Elmer, and Cousin Junior. The Junkyard Dog, I mean, that was my era. I mean, The Missing Link, when they did the wrestling album in September 85, I mean, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling was on Saturday morning. That was just fun.
Yeah, Malcolm, so
Piper and Hogan.
Back in that era, it was, I mean, a lot of over-the-top characters, no doubt about it. A lot of over-the-top characters. But the storylines were kind of based on reality. You had Mr. USA Hulk Hogan against Russia in Nikolai Volkoff, as you mentioned, that flag match. And there was a lot of tension between the United States and Russia back in those days. And I think what's missing today is, and I don't know if this is a function of the politically correct environment, but over-the-top characters. You know, I don't think you could do some of the characters that they did back in those days. And not that that's a bad thing necessarily, but I'm not sure if Hillbilly Jim would be politically correct. I mean, they're making fun of people who live in rural areas. Is that something that they'd allow to happen today?
Well, you know what? Something else they can't do today. They can't sing like Hillbilly Jim, like Roddy Piper, like Captain Lou Albano.
Boy.
Like the Junkyard Dog, you know, and all those songs that they used to do. I mean, wrestlers to me are a combination of two types of entertainment. They're sports athletes first, but they're also entertainers. That's what makes a great wrestler. The Hart Foundation,
well,
Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart,
yeah,
I mean, the British Bulldogs.
I think Malcolm, I think yesterday, meaning back in that era, you had people that knew how to tell a story in the ring. So they were athletic, but they didn't have to be high flyers. They didn't have to do spot fests like they're doing now. I mean,
no,
today,
no,
wrestling matches.
They fly all over the ring today. I mean, back then, they wrestled. I mean,
right.
Bruno Sammartino got in a cage match with Roddy Piper at the Boston Gardens in 86. I forget what month, but it was great because Piper brought in a poster of the New England Patriots after they lost the Super Bowl, and Bruno tore it up, and all the fans were cheering in the Boston Garden. I mean, that's what was fun about it. I mean, you know, when Steamboat in 86, when Steamboat took on the Macho Man in, like, November right after my birthday, and it was on Superstars, and Macho Man drove the bell into Steamboat's throat, and they're doing an interview with Bruno Sammartino and the Macho Man. He goes, "Put the hot dog mustard on the hot dog." And Bruno goes, "Why you?" And they started to fight with each other. Ken Resnick was doing interviews, you know, during the break. Mean Gene Okerlund was doing interviews. You'd see the old World Wrestling Federation banner in the background, like the blue background with the WWF, you know, behind it, you know. And also, down south in the NWA, you had the Rock and Roll Express, you had the Road Warriors, you had the Four Horsemen, Dusty Rhodes. I mean, you can't capture that era again. I have people I meet at Big Time Wrestling. One guy's name is Max. He videotaped me doing the Hogan voice for a lot of wrestlers I've met. And Max and me agree that, you know, the 80s, you know, there'll never be another 80s because, I mean, the characters and the storylines and everything were just fun. I mean, when King Kong Bundy came out, the Gorilla Monsoon on wrestling, I forget what it was before it was Wrestling Challenge. I forget what it was, the other one, but he came
All-Star
out.
All-Star Wrestling.
And Bobby,
it was All-Star Wrestling.
Yeah, Bobby,
and yep.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan and Monsoon Jesse Ventura and Monsoon were doing the broadcast on the other show. And it used to come on Sundays here in the Bay, there in the Bay Area. And he came out and he said, "I want everybody to see the next champion because Bundy Mania." I mean, that was funny, you know? I mean, I told King Kong Bundy on the phone when I talked to him two times. I said, "I can't call you King Kong Bundy. I got to call you Bundy Mania," because that was just fun.
Yeah, Malcolm, so to me, right now, wrestlers and really the people that write the product, they're just obsessed with move after move, and it's not telling the story of the match in the ring. It's not, there's no backstory behind a lot of the matches. It's like, you know, something happens behind the scenes on that show that day, they have a match, and then that's it. And I think so it's certainly in the 80s, things built over time. They built over months and sometimes over years. And that even continued into the Attitude Era. Say what you want about Vince Russo, but Vince Russo knew how to write storylines that got you to invest in the characters. And I'm not sure that happens today. I think it's just about moves.
I liked at Halloween Havoc in 99. They were in Vegas, and Hogan came out to lay down for Sting. And says, hey, Russo, that's why this company's in the toilet or something. That's funny.
Yeah, it was definitely that's missing from today's environment. Malcolm, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can listen in. I got to take a commercial break. I'll come back to you sometime before the end of the show. Okay,
Bruce.
All right. 657-383-1666. 657-383-1666. We got some calls waiting on hold. It's about time for commercial break number one. If you want to get to the show on the other side, that is the number. You can tweet me at Bruce VOC. I want to know what your favorite period in professional wrestling history is. We'll talk to you on the other side. This is Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County, Duncan School of Driving, specialists in teenage driver training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident free. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
You know, the Patriot looks very tan today. I wonder if he got his tan from Sunboat Tans over in Southampton, Pennsylvania.
Awesome place. That's how I get my color. And as you see, it's very effective.
Now, maybe he's going to get another tan.
Possibly.
Maybe he's going to go to sunboattan.com and try to get that tan.
Again, guys, check me out. You can see where I get my color from.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation.
And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide.
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 Worldwide, baby.
Worldwide, man.
Worldwide.
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 Worldwide. On VOCNation.com.
VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network. I'm having fun hanging out with you on a Wednesday night. If you're listening live, 657-383-1666. That's the number to get to the show. We got a full board on hold waiting to talk about your favorite wrestling generation. So what era in professional wrestling is your favorite? The Twitter poll right now, the Attitude Era is in control. And I said it to open the show. My favorite era was the late 80s. So it was Hulkamania at its peak. And my first wrestling program that I ever watched was the main event, not Saturday night's main event, but the main event on Friday, February 5th, 1988. I was coming home as a young 8-year-old boy from grocery shopping with my mom. And it was, as Dave Meltzer said in the Observer that week, it was the first time in 33 years that pro wrestling had been on a TV network during prime time. And Dave went on to say they accomplished what they set out to accomplish, presenting pro wrestling, and presenting pro wrestling was obviously not in their plans. They got the title from Hulk Hogan without him having to do a job. Dave didn't really like the Hulkster. Andre wasn't hurt. WrestleMania was set up, and most of all, they ended the show with an angle so bizarre that it diverted everyone's attention from the few weaknesses in the show. Most of all, the sleight of hand finish distracted everyone and stunned them long enough so that there was no threat of a riot. And that was a stroke of genius, because doing a screwjob title, stealing from a babyface as over as Hulk Hogan, could easily escalate into an out-of-control situation. That was Dave Meltzer's take on February 5th, 1988, the day that Hulk Hogan lost the title to Andre the Giant. Andre immediately turned it over to Ted DiBiase, as everybody knows, in the famous interview. And off we went with the rest of the decade. The mega powers were born and exploded, and things, you know, really took off from there, in my opinion. And they carried on for a while. I think wrestling started to get corny in the early 90s when characters like The Goon and Alex the Pug Porto and Duke the Dumpster Drosy started taking over. See, to me, that's when Vince lost touch. He started to lose touch in what the audience wanted. I don't know. Some people say, if you listen to Vince Russo, that was Bruce Prichard's fault. You know, he likes to talk about and make fun of Mantar. I don't know, because Bruce Prichard was also around in the Attitude Era, and I think Bruce Prichard, you can attribute a lot of good things to what Bruce Prichard did. I think, to me, when all of those people got together, all those creative minds, when it wasn't just Vince trying to put on a show that made him laugh and entertained kids, which I don't even know if it entertained them in the early and mid-90s, I think those minds got together, they balanced each other out and put on a really good product in the Attitude Era. To me, it wasn't as good as the 80s. The storytelling was still there, but it wasn't quite as good as what I grew up liking. But definitely today, as of right now, I don't think that it's there. So I want to hear what you have to think, or what you have to say. You are, you know what you have to think, I guess. 657-336-1666. I'm going to go, we talked to Malcolm. I'm going to go to New Jersey and talk to Rat Boy, my old buddy. Rat Boy, you're in the VOC Nation Radio Network. What's up, man?
Not much, man. A lot of great things, like the Attitude Era, there was the NWO, you know, the NWO.
So that's,
I think that was the best era that I know.
That was in the Attitude Era. That was the cool thing about the Attitude Era, my second favorite, because you had Austin on one side and The Rock and Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon, the evil character. And then on WCW, you had the NWO. And I think the cool thing is WCW started putting pressure on the WWE to elevate their game. They brought back a lot of the guys from the 80s, the names that we knew. And it gave us something different. And maybe, Rat Boy, that's what AEW is going to do to the WWE. They're going to force them to elevate their game.
Yeah, just like ECW. Remember them? McMahon bought them now. I think that was the Attitude Era. I think it was after the Attitude Era, the ECW that he bought.
You're saying the Vince McMahon version of ECW?
Yeah, the ECW. You know, where are those guys at now? Nowheres. You don't even see not one of them nowheres.
Well, listen, a lot of people don't realize this, but ECW actually grew out of Joel Goodhart's TWA. So fans might not recognize that name, but back in the late 80s and early 90s in Philadelphia, Joel Goodhart was the promoter for an organization called the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance. They were hardcore. They did barroom shows, and they started to pull together a lot of the secondary names that were just kind of trolling around the territory at the time. And Joel ended up folding in, I think, 91 or 92. And Eastern Championship Wrestling was kind of born out of the fallout. The Rock and Rebel.
That's when what's his name bought it? Paul Heyman. No, that's Todd the only Gordon. One that you see now.
Right, Todd Gordon started it. Paul Heyman ended up investing and taking it over. But that was all born out of the TWA. So to me, Rat Boy, the whole Attitude Era wouldn't have been born. Forget about Paul Heyman. Joel Goodhart was first. And that was – he had a wrestling show on the radio. That was one of the reasons that I do this today. I fell in love with radio, and I always wanted to do a wrestling show. And here I am all these years later.
Yeah, but there's one more thing, though.
What's that?
All right. I know you might agree with me or not disagree, okay?
Okay, I'm waiting.
You know that I made history being in the ring for 5 minutes with Superfly Snuka at his birthday bash. Remember that?
That is true, Rat Boy. Maybe that was my favorite era. We for those of you who are new to VOC Nation, we did the promotion about 10 years ago for Jimmy Snuka's, I think it was his 70th birthday party, maybe 60, something like that. And Rat Boy was part of the festivities. We did the commentary and watched Rat Boy take the Superfly splash off the middle rope, maybe. Dawn Marie beat the crap out of you. It was a great time.
Yeah, you know, we got to get the whole clan back together again. We got to do it one more time with somebody different.
Well, it won't be with Snuka, Rat Boy, because he's, God rest his soul.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we could have that one match between me and Dawn Marie.
We'll work on that, Rat Boy. Listen, real quick. So during the Attitude Era, you said your favorite group was the NWO. When did you start to think that wrestling started to take a turn south? When did it not get as good for you?
About 3 years ago.
3 years
started
ago,
changing, you know. You know, because you always see the same matches over and over and over and over and over again, you know? Just like the art commercials over and over and over again, because I don't know how many times I saw that Domino's pizza over and over and over again, and every time when I see that pizza commercial, I always order more pizza.
But to me, I mean, you say the same matches over and over and over again, but a lot of times, I mean, you could put any two generic people in the ring. The matches look the same to me. It's just spot after spot after spot, move after move after move. There's no
story.
Yeah,
and plus when they put it on TV, right, if they have a show on a weekend, you ain't see the same matches on TV.
Sure.
Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, it's tough. They have to continue to write live TV, and I think it's just a lot of pressure. It's oversaturated right now. I think that's the biggest problem that professional wrestling has. It's oversaturated.
Okay.
And Vince McMahon doesn't have.
I got a cut a short, but I got a request. All right, for three people to be on your show, and I'd like you to get them.
Okay. Do my best.
All right. Number one is your boy, Namar Wells.
Isn't he dead?
I'm not sure. And number two is Nanny.
You want Nanny back on the show?
Yes.
She's just a troublemaker, isn't she?
I'm not sure. We gotta find out about this. And the number one is, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Hang on to your seats. Make sure you vote him in the Hall of Fame. Let's give it up for Bill Apter.
Bill Apter. You know what? You might hear. So you have a better chance at hearing Bill Apter than the other two. Fair enough.
Because I went to Alan Gainey's funeral. He passed away. I was there. Bill Apter was there. Bill Apter asked me where I lived at. And he said, oh, I didn't know you lived there. I know. I got to catch up with you on the, when I come to the train station then, and then you can sit down and have pizza once in a while. I said, okay.
Well, there you go. Good stuff.
Yeah, Bill Apter haven't seen me in a while, you know?
All right. Good stuff. Well, you hang in there, Rat Boy. You take it easy. And as always, thanks for the call, man. 657-383-1666. I like talking to Rat Boy. I don't know why. People criticize me for it, but I have a soft spot in my heart for the guy. Rat Boy mentioned a few people that won't be joining us anytime soon. Maybe Bill Apter, who knows. But I have an announcement, and for those of you who did not hear this yet, we will, after a few weeks of teasing it, finally have Jimmy Hart in the VOC Nation Radio Network next week to talk about the first WrestleMania. So Jimmy Hart will be 100% guaranteed on this show next week to talk about the first WrestleMania. Jimmy's a good friend of the VOC Nation. He's a good friend of me for a very long time. And the thing that I like about bringing Jimmy on the show is he's not oversaturated. You don't hear Jimmy doing everybody's podcast and everybody's show. He's not out there creating all kinds of controversy. Jimmy's just a good guy, and we can have a great conversation about how things happened to lead up to that first WrestleMania. If you remember, Jimmy came down to the ring back then with King Kong Bundy. Everybody remembers Bundy with Bobby the Brain Heenan during his the heart of his run, but Jimmy Hart was Bundy's first manager in the WWF after a huge run down in Memphis. So we'll talk to Jimmy about all of those good old times next week, and I always love talking to my buddy Jimmy Hart. All right, I'm going to go back to the phones, and remember, if you don't want to call, you can tweet me at BruceVOC as we talk about your favorite era in professional wrestling. I'm going to go to Tennessee and talk to Patty. Patty, you're in the VOC Nation Radio Network. What's up, Patty?
No, doing just fine here in the heat era of 100 degrees or higher.
Oh, man.
Suffocating us here.
Oh, boy.
But
wow.
My favorite era is during the time of, like, Rat Boy was talking about. Some of those eras I loved more than anything.
You like the Attitude Era, the late 90s?
Oh, both of them. I mean, both of them. Especially when they first got started back in the, you know, days of Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy, Andre the Giant, Junkyard Dog, and I mean, oh, the list goes on.
When did it start to turn down? Go ahead, Patty. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. You finish. I'm sorry.
King Kong Bundy and Junkyard Dog were my two favorite ones from back then.
Yeah,
and
the Junkyard Dog was the dog was a very charismatic character, and I always thought that the Junkyard Dog should have had a run with a title in the WWF. He never got that big run. You know, he was always a mid-card fill-in type character. Did some matches with Hogan, but Junkyard Dog should have been able to carry the belt. I think if I read the behind the scenes stuff, he just wasn't trustworthy because he had he liked to have a good time, Patty, if you know what I mean.
Yep, he was always one for being a Seth, doing his best, giving everybody what he feels like they deserve in seeing a show.
Sure.
You know, he put his 100% plus into what he did for the fans. No matter what face he was, it didn't matter if he was the good guy, the bad guy, or maybe what you'd want to call the in-between, where sometimes he'd be good, sometimes he's bad. But he always put himself into it. And
now, Patty,
didn't see that.
When did you stop? When did wrestling stop being as entertaining for you? What caused things
maybe
to not
about
be quite
the,
as exciting?
About the mid to late 90s, it got where a lot of it was all talk and no show. They was always up there in the ring running their mouths about this, that, and the other, who they're going to get, what they're going to do. and then can't produce what they said they was going to do.
Now, were you a WWF fan or an NWA, WCW fan? What was your favorite promotion?
WCCW.
World class. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're in that, and then that USWA territory, right? In Tennessee.
Well, sort of. You know, I didn't have any particular league that I was, you know, into. I watched it all because during Saturday night, they showed it from all different areas, including the Von Erich out in Texas and stuff. And those guys, I loved watching them when they were up there doing their things. Then another favorite one I had that I liked watching was the Michael P.S. Hayes and Terry Gordy. Remember those two?
Of course I do. The Fabulous Freebirds. Yes, of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
And they're from the Bad Streets USA down
yes,
in Georgia.
They are.
That's where I'm originally from.
You're from Bad Streets USA?
Uh-huh. I've got a cousin that used to wrestle. He was back in that time before WWE became what it was. He wrestled a lot of the guys like Dusty Rhodes, Jake the Snake, and a few others back before they were known who they are now. And excuse me, my finances are acting up bad. But I actually got to, because of him, meet some of the guys back in those days before the guys actually became famous for what
okay.
they are now. So
very
I
good.
Guess you could say I grew up with wrestling. I was watching wrestling when I was three, even.
Wow.
Going to these
back
matches.
In, that's what, the late 1760s?
No. Wait a minute.
I'm just
I'm
kidding,
not that
Patty.
Young. I'm not that young, but I keep up with it.
Oh, boy.
I was born in 1955, so that would make it 1958. I was going, and this was in the days before wrestling actually made it to the screen.
Okay.
And what my family used to laugh about is they'd take me to these matches that were like in the gyms and stuff, and they're bringing the guys out on stretchers with blood all over, and I'm standing on the seat yelling, put them back in and make them wrestle more. And I,
you're hardcore, Patty.
Yeah, I loved it. So you could say it's been in my blood ever since wrestling's been wrestling.
You're hardcore,
and
Patty.
I don't want to get away from it. I don't want to get away from it. But I love it, but there's certain things like the way it's getting nowadays. It's just not like it used to be.
Yeah, you think that Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman taking over the reins for the TV shows is going to help? Do you think it's going to change anything?
Probably, but we won't really know unless they actually give him the chance to try and show us stuff.
Well, that's what it is, and I thank you for the call. We'll put you off to the side there. That's what it is. It's Vince McMahon actually giving the keys to the car, so to speak, to Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now for the record, I'm not positive that they can do it even if they have the keys, unless they get somebody in there that knows and has the pulse, the finger on the pulse of the marketplace. I think that is the challenge. And you see, with Vince McMahon, it's all about pressuring him to compete. And right now he's not pressured. So TV ratings are fine enough, but the overall business is still booming. I think back in the old days, it was about attendance and you were judged on your attendance. Then in the Attitude Era in the 90s, it was heavily about TV ratings between the two organizations. Now, the WWE has their own platform. They have the WWE Network, so they're getting a lot of their money from the people that pay that $9.95 fee. And I think what the WWE has going for them is they'll at least get that $10 a month from the people that want to harken back to yesteryear and go back and watch wrestling in the 80s. That's part of the charm of the WWE network. I think when I think about the death of wrestling as we know it, you know, there was that boom in the 80s and the boom again in the late 90s, the NWO, the Attitude Era. On March 23rd, 2001, as the press release reads, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment today announced its purchase of World Championship Wrestling from Turner Broadcasting. That is the day the music died. That's when Vince McMahon's competition went away. And you know, you could say that TNA was competition. You can say that, you know, he competes against some of the larger independents. But really, that's when the WWE had the entire market to themselves. And it just, the drive to compete. Listen, in business, you're always focused on your competition. And that's when there was no more wrestling competition for Vince McMahon. It's funny because if you read the Observer back from 2001, Dave Meltzer says, and this couldn't be more wrong. He says the plan, at least for this week, is to keep WCW a separate organization and attempt to rebuild it for likely an interpromotional war 6 months or a year down the road. The WWF and TNN already have agreed to air a new WCW program, which may or may not be called Nitro, on Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Never happened, by the way. No start date was finalized as of press time, although the belief is that the debut is at least 6 to 8 weeks away. The new promotion will probably consist of whichever WCW performers are retained, mostly mid-carders like Shannon Moore, Shane Helms, Lance Storm, Canyon, Mike Awesome, and Kidman, some former ECW stars, and some of the WWF developmental wrestlers who the company has been wanting to bring up but hasn't found a spot for in the active roster. So very interesting, and maybe this was the plan. I mean, you can go back, and I think the cool thing today is with podcasts and some of the people that have podcasts, you can listen to Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff talk about what happened in their eyes back in that time. And I think, you know, there has been some rumblings that there was talks about having WCW as a separate organization. I think it was Jim Ross talking about how there was a feelers out to Eric Bischoff for the original WCW invasion angle. That never happened. And I think that's where it started to fall apart. The invasion angle was corny and it really never recovered. And you had some good TV, I think, mixed in. You had the CM Punk era, so to speak. You know, John Cena, I think, was forced down people's throats, so people didn't really enjoy John Cena, true wrestling fans, as much as they could have. But really, there has been no real boom since that period, you know, since that late 90s period. And, geez, if it wasn't for the WWE Network, I don't know what wrestling fans would do today, because that's how we get back to yesterday. So very interesting. I want to continue to talk to you on the other side of the break. You can tweet me at Bruce BOC. You can get to the show. We're going till 10:30 Eastern time tonight at 657-383-1666. 657-383-1666. This is VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
This is Vince Russo, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and of course the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. And lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
This is a very special VOC Wrestling moment.
Ox Baker sings a song for the VOC Wrestling Nation.
The VOC Nation said, Ox, when are you going to quit wrestling? I said, you better listen to me. I'm never going to stop this wrestling business till the big man upstairs counts to three. I've got the old time, I've got the old time, I got the old time wrestling blues.
The voice of choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetraMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
All right, VOC Nation, Wrestling with History, Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time is when you can catch the live show, and we're live here tonight, and I'm just here by myself taking your calls. I had some good stuff. I'm talking about the best era in professional wrestling in your eyes. On the Twitter poll, the Attitude Era is winning. You can tweet me your response, at BruceBOC. And if you want to sneak in and get into the show in the last few minutes, it's 657-383-1666. I always promise Malcolm I'll get back to him. So hang in there, Malcolm. I'll finish our conversation in just a little bit. I said in the beginning of the show, my favorite period in professional wrestling was that late 80s period. It's when I started watching 1988. You know, one of my favorite events ever. I remember getting the family together. Pay-per-view was in its infancy, and we went over to a family member's house that had pay-per-view. And we watched SummerSlam 88, the Mega Powers meet the Mega Bucks. And to me, that was just the greatest thing ever. The Honky Tonk Man was just, I mean, you talk about a great heel. That was a guy that everybody hated, and you really just didn't like the guy. And he purported to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. He held the title for a year. You just wanted him to lose. And one of the coolest moments for me as a kid, I still remember it, was the Ultimate Warrior. We all know he's turned out to be a jerk. God rest his soul. But the Ultimate Warrior came running to the ring. He beats the Honky Tonk Man for the title. And forget about the Mega Powers and the Mega Bucks. To me, that was just such an awesome, awesome experience. Also on that show, you had Jimmy Hart and the Hart Foundation started their feud. That's when Jimmy Hart and the Harts kind of split right after WrestleMania 4. And I think Jimmy came to the ring with Demolition, if I'm not mistaken. But listen, Jimmy Hart will be right here next week in the VOC Nation Radio Network. We'll talk to Jimmy Hart about some of those old time moments leading up to the first WrestleMania. We'll talk about his time in Memphis. I just love Jimmy Hart, one of my favorite people in the world. And I'm very excited about it. We talked about the Attitude Era. And listen, as the Attitude Era was getting started, because that's my second favorite, a couple people have said that in the calls, and the Twitter poll says Attitude Era as well. And really for me, I think when the Attitude Era got started, looking back on the Observer from, this is December 26, 1995. This is when the Monday Night War started getting really good. And Dave Meltzer writes, the wild Nitro versus Raw Monday Night Wars produced another one of wrestling's most memorable moments with Deborah.
worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
This is Vince Russo, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. And lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Okay, well, something didn't like me. I had some technical difficulties, so sorry for that impromptu commercial break. But I guess I was just reading Dave Meltzer on the Observer talking about the start of the Monday Night Wars and the Wild Nitro when Alundra Blaze, really, that's when the war was thrown down. That's when the WCW really threw it in the face of WWE, and she threw that belt in the trash. So to me, that's when that got started, and wrestling started to get fun again after a lull. I'm going to go back to the phones. Again, 657-383-1666. 657-383-1666. Area 484. I think this is this Dustin?
Justin.
How are the VOC Nation Radio Network? What's up, man?
How are you doing?
Well, up until the technical difficulties, I was fine. I'm just hanging out here by myself on a Wednesday night.
That happens. But on another part. You bring up a great topic. The Attitude Era is one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite eras in WWF. It's my favorite one. You had Stone Cold with Vince McMahon. They had some great segments on there. The Rock and Mankind, Undertaker. It's like the Attitude Era had so much going for it, and I just wish that we could have a modern Attitude Era today, but I just don't see that happening.
Now, what about the Attitude Era, Justin, was special for you? Was it the matches? Was it the hardcore nature of it? Was the cursing, the boobs? What about the Attitude Era made it great to watch?
I would say the promos were great. The matches, the hardcore matches that they had back then. My favorite part of the Attitude Era. It's gotta be with Stone Cold and Vince McMahon going at it. That was one of the biggest. It was one of the big parts of it. Like you're an employee goes to argue with his boss and he gives him the stunner and he still has his job. Like you can't do that nowadays. It's like if your boss is giving you a bad day, you can't kick him in the balls and give him a stunner. You can't just do that. Well, you'll get fired.
You can't do it now, and you couldn't do it then either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could ever kick my balls, my boss in the balls and give him the stunner. I don't know if that would end well for me.
Yeah, I would. I know for sure I would never want to do that to anybody because I'm a friendly type of person. I would never lay my hands on anybody.
I hope not, Justin.
I just walk away from
story.
His disagreement.
Uh-huh. The stories were good in the Attitude Era, and that you invested in the stories. I think that's the problem right now. There's nothing really that you can suspend your disbelief in. Everything is just so corny. Like, it's just a corny product. There's nothing really that I can get immersed in and really feel like it's real and believable.
Like for instance, the only thing I'm really getting into is the Becky Lynch and the Seth Rollins. I'm liking that, and I'm definitely liking with what they're doing with the 24/7 title. That is amazing the way they created that. It's just
well, yeah, they're getting people invested
crazy.
On social media. Yeah, I agree with you. You think that the choices of bringing in Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff is going to liven things up?
I think to be honest with you, I think they're creative geniuses. Eric, when he was with WCW, and Paul Heyman when he was with ECW. Those two guys are creative wise. I think the shows will drastically change. I'm hoping they do. Because with SmackDown, you got Bischoff on with SmackDown, and you got Heyman with Raw. I think it's going to get better. I'm hoping it
does.
Well,
we have to hope so. We have to hope so, Justin. We have to hope so. When did you start to see, just real quick, because we're up against the end of the show, when did you start to see the product, when the Attitude Era was at its height, when did you start to see things fall off? When do you think that happened?
I would say towards the end of the Ruthless Aggression era.
Okay, when Eric Bischoff came back and they phased him out, and that's when that's kind of when they went to PG and they started to really, I guess, go back towards kids, and John Cena was really pushed down our throats, and I think that's when wrestling fans started to reject them.
I mean even to this day, when I hear the name John Cena, it just turns in my stomach, and it's just like, that's the guy you want as your poster boy. I'd rather have CM Punk as my poster boy. I don't want this guy. I wouldn't want my son or daughter to look up to John Cena, because I don't like him. Never have, and I never will.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of wrestling fans that feel that way, Justin. And that's part of, I think, why some of the hardcore fans, some of the lifelong fans started turning away, because the more that – you know, I know John Cena sold merchandise, and there's a business side to it. But I still think you could have turned him heel. People still would have liked him enough to buy – like the people that liked him would have bought his stuff. And I think you could have created another super baby face out of that and still continue to make money. I think they missed an opportunity there.
I would say the only time there was ever like a heel in John Cena was when he was the Chain Gang Hustle Loyalty and Respect, and he came out rapping and all that. Like,
yeah, that's corny too to me.
It is. It's just like the whole John Cena gimmick. I think it just. To me, I just never liked that, and it's just even when I see a person with John Cena, I just like, I'm like, oh God, you could have wore any other guy's shirt, like a Triple H or a Brock Lesnar or a Seth Rollins shirt, could have wore anyone else but that guy.
And
my girlfriend was like, oh, I'm buying you a John Cena T-shirt for Christmas. I'm like, no, you're not, because I'm gonna burn that T-shirt.
Justin, thanks for the call. I'm up against the end, and I have to get something else in before I leave the air. I have to go back to Malcolm, and I have to find out who he's going to meet this week. I've left people in suspense the entire hour, so we're going to get to Malcolm in just a second. I do want to tell everybody listening, please go on to wherever you get this podcast. If you're not listening live, if you get it at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, we're on all of those vehicles. Rate and review us. Give us 5 stars if that's what's in your heart. I hope that you feel that way. If you don't, tell us about it and tell us what you'd rather hear. Tell us what you want to hear more of. We try to give you the best guests. And, again, we've had Shelly Martinez. We've had Hernandez. We've had the Maestro from WCW. And next week, I have WWE Hall of Famer, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Before I skedaddle here today, I'm going to go back to Malcolm. Malcolm, come on, man. Tell me what you got going on this week. You going to get some pictures and autographs coming up?
No, I'm not going to meet anybody till Big Time Wrestling. That's August 16th, 6 days after my first Raider preseason game in Oakland.
Big Time Wrestling, that's Kurt.
Kirk White. I call him Captain Kirk, like on Star Trek. That's my nickname for him. Because
you know, listen, that's Kirk, where People don't realize this, but that's where Bailey started. Bailey started at
Davina Rose,
time wrestling.
For 6 years.
Yeah, Davina Rose,
from
that was her name.
From 2006 to 2012, and I sent a letter to Vince McMahon, and I think I helped her get in the net because she made an announcement December of 2012 that she was going there, and she spent a lot of time with me that night.
Listen, everybody has to go. If you get on YouTube and search VOC Nation, Malcolmania, that's where I met Malcolm for the first time. Back in the day, I used to do MC wrestling conventions, and we used to do a lot of road work back when we did AM radio in Philadelphia. We used to travel around the country and did this convention out in California for Big Time Wrestling, and that's where I met Malcolm for the first time. And in Malcolm, it's been a lifelong love fest ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was real special to me. It just blew out the madness, May of 2011, in the Bay Area, the home of the Oakland Raiders.
There we go. There we go. Malcolm, I thought you lived in Vegas now. Are you driving back and forth to get to Big Time Wrestling?
No, I missed the last three events. I missed Davina Rose on May 31st because I'm having trouble driving my car. They got a stipulation on my registration renewal that should have been done last July. So I'm trying to get that straight now because, hey, Bruce, I can't miss those Raider games this year. It's my last year in Oakland, and it's going to be like, you know, the old WWF when the Raiders leave Oakland. It's going to hit me hard. I miss those games.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you're going to be in Vegas with them, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. David Arquette. His kids aren't fully grown yet, so next year he's going to go to every game with me. We're going to sit in the fourth deck, nine rows back on the 50-yard line, and he said he's going to have fun watching me doing push-ups and yelling defense. He says it's going to be a real thrill for him. So.
I love it. I love it. Malcolm, thanks for the call, man. I'm up against the end of the show. And I want to thank everybody that joined us today. I love talking about this stuff. Love talking about your favorite era in professional wrestling. Listen, during the upcoming week, before we get back on the air next Wednesday, find my Twitter, at BruceVOC. Vote. Encourage other people to vote. I want a lot of votes. I want to find out your favorite era in professional wrestling. I'm going to keep this poll up as long as I can. And I'm not the best with Twitter. So if it expires, I'm going to start another one. And we'll talk about it some more next week. Got Jimmy Hart coming up next week in the VOC Nation Wrestling with History show next Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern time. And remember to visit VOCNation.com and listen to all of the fantastic VOC Nation Radio Network programs, especially my buddy Brady Hicks on Tuesdays for In the Room. So that's it for me today. Thanks for hanging with me while I flew solo. No wrestling marks, Eric, no Albert, but I think we got through it. We had some fun. This has been VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network, and I'll talk to you next week.
Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stubbs. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
You know, you really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur, is Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA
champion. Oh, my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It's buzzed around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof. You'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off. That way you will stay always broken.